Adam McDougall is the Health Hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Southern Volkswagen.
Main South Road, Ranella.
They're closer than you think. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, very exciting day coming up, Roo. I can smell the liniment.
Oh, and plenty of tickets to give away today. Mm. The phones are going crazy already. Should we reward someone soon?
Or straight
not?
Away.
You reckon?
Really?
I liked it. When you go out to bat, you always like to get a quick single. When you're out in the middle
get
of
the mark.
Adelaide Oval, it's always good to get your hands on the ball early.
Yeah. All right, you just lunge forward, little single through. What, cover? You don't have to hit it for four.
Yeah.
Just get off the mark.
Just get off
like
the
it.
Mark.
Like
run
it.
To the other end. Let's run straight to Golden Grove. G'day, Ben.
Morning, boys. How you going?
Good, Benny boy. What's happening today? Did you set the alarm early or are you always up and about?
Working at Balaclava at the moment, so I left home this morning at about 5:15.
Right. Good boy. What's happening out at Balaclava?
Balco Hayshed. We're doing a 13,000 square metre warehouse for them.
Gee, that's big. That's, well done.
Yeah, good.
All right. Now, who do you barrack for, Ben?
Adelaide, mate. Sorry.
Good boy, Benny. So, do you want to go tomorrow night?
I would love to, mate.
All right. Well, you're going. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, boys. Even if you want to go off at 6:01.
Yeah, you set the alarm for 6:01. Good on you, Benny. All right, get back to work.
That's
good
how
stuff.
Easy it is, Roo. Throughout the morning, we're going to keep saying ring now, and you need to be on the blower quick.
We have got heaps of doubles to give away, and we've got a big show today. We've got Big Mal coming on, and he has been in the news big time. He's speaking with Trumpy today, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a moment.
I asked him about his basketball shot the other day. Did you see that? Geez, that was unbelievable. Yeah. He got no idea.
It's up there with
Johnny Howard.
Johnny Howard bowling leg spin. It's up there with Bob Hawke getting his glasses knocked off by a bouncer. Yeah.
Have a look at Kevin Rudd trying to do chin-ups as well. Not very strong, Kev.
Me? No. I haven't seen that one.
No, either had I. It said someone forwarded that one. Hamish Harlett's going to join us as well. We have got a very, very big show.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Roo, making news right around the world. Now, of course, the Northern Korea situation is escalating day by day. Amelia Brace, Channel 7 reporter, was on Triple M earlier this morning. This is the latest.
Yeah, but, I mean, the tensions are certainly escalating. It's been happening all year, but this test, as you said, is the strongest and the largest yet. And the alarming part, especially for people here in California, is that the North Korean regime claims that they can attach one of these bombs to an intercontinental missile, which could reach mainland USA, namely California. So certainly people are nervous here, but there's also a bit of a feeling that Kim Jong-un is just bluffing and that this is just kind of what North Korea does and it won't get to that point.
Now, he's actually, the news overnight is he's now set up missiles on the western side of North Korea. So he's going to shoot some the other way now because he's been heading east up until now towards Japan. Roo, I said to you yesterday, I wonder if this bloke's as dumb as what we thought he was, because he's he's now in a position where the rest of the world doesn't know what to do. Like, you can't, if you go in there now with force, as we heard yesterday with Chris Reason, he pushes a button and within 45 seconds, South Korea's bombed.
Well, he could push a button and shoot ones to
anywhere.
Every major target.
So he's backed himself into a corner where he can see everyone coming. Because as you know now, if like in the old days in World War II, when a whole heap of planes left Japan and went and bombed Pearl Harbor, they didn't even know they were coming until the last minute.
Yeah.
Well, now you know everything's coming.
You can see them coming.
So he's actually backed himself into a position where he's holding the whole world to ransom.
Yep, he is a bit. It's a bit scary, and hopefully he just wants to be recognised as a superpower. That's what someone said to me. He actually doesn't want to do any damage. He just wants respect.
Mm.
You know, like a Putin, if you call that respect, or, you know, just as a world leader. So hopefully that's all he wants and he pulls his head in.
Now, later on this morning, Donald Trump has booked a phone call with Malcolm Turnbull. And you know the first thing Malcolm's going to say to Donald?
Don't hang up on
me. Yeah, please don't hang up on me. Yeah, if you could.
I do not appreciate what you did to me last time.
Right.
You made me look
don't be so rude.
Silly, yeah, President Trump.
Exactly. But they're going to have a phone call about this situation. So Donald, obviously, wanting to know where we stand on it, or asking for our help, our assistance, and I would have thought.
He knows we're Australia, not Austria, and that too, doesn't he?
I think he's worked that out, yeah. That and he probably, if he's done his homework, he'll know that, for example, back when... which war was it? The Kuwaiti war, when America last called on us in a big, big way. We sent one ship, which arrived after the war had ended. So that's our the extent of our input usually. So it's probably just a courtesy call to make us feel important. I don't know.
The North Korean leader, what's his name? Kim Jong Un. You know he loves the booze, don't you?
Does he?
He does.
Really?
I did read an article of it, and I just had a text message sent from a mate saying that he could get on pretty well with us. So all we have to
send
do,
a carton,
send some VB over there,
everything,
big mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Or some good red wine.
That's an olive branch.
That's an olive. That's better than that. If you just get him hammered, put him to sleep, and then go in there and bloody do what he did to his sister-in-law or whatever. Or
he's
his brother-in-law.
A few rallies off, hadn't he?
Oh, yeah, he doesn't. His uncle and mentor. Gone.
Yeah.
You're a threat.
Yeah.
So we'll send over some good SABs and do that. That might be as simple as it is.
Yeah. Now, moving on to other stories, world news. We learnt yesterday that the young royals are going to have another baby.
Princess Kate.
Kate Middleton's got morning sickness.
Yes.
And, you know, how's this? The favourite for the name of the baby, Alice.
Oh,
you reckon
no.
Alice the Wag is up and about?
Oh, is she ever? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You reckon she's had an impact?
Yes, and you can bet on the bet on that too, apparently. And, very short price favourite, I think. Yeah. So we'll have to get some money on that, but it'll be good for her confidence.
Yeah. Now, just finally, Roo, you know I like to talk fashion on this show. I sort of call myself the fashion editor of this program.
Yep.
And I was online this morning and quickly went offline because what I was looking at was just obscene. There's one of these, it's not the Cannes Film Festival, but one of these film festivals over in Europe
Cairns.
At the moment. Cannes, where there are Cannes everywhere. And anyway, all the celebs are rolling up on the red carpet. Do you know the new fashion over there right now? Women are wearing these dresses, and the dresses are beautiful. However, they split right up the front. And so what happens is you scroll down, you think, oh, that's a nice dress, and you scroll down, and I'm not making light of this because I cannot believe this fashion will take off, but... Yeah, you basically see their whizzer. I am not joking.
Come on.
You do. And I thought, who has thought of this
Who's
fashion?
Who's going to wear that around?
Get online and check this out. I know you will.
People
now.
People in Cairns.
Right? People in Cairns. And this dress splits right up the front.
What's the website?
And it's on my phone. I'll show you. And some of them are wearing what I would call very, very nice lingerie. So, and again, you think, gee, that's a bit revealing.
But others?
Others are wearing nothing. It is absolute graphic full on. And a couple of them, these Italian actresses are going, oh, well, you know, whatever. Go with the flow. Because the wind blows these dresses up and, hello.
Are you okay?
I'm bloody shocked.
You've been put off a bit early in the morning for you.
But I might have, Roo, you might have to carry the show through until 9 because I need to reinvestigate this for a while. I need to get back onto it. Can't believe
import
it.
Import them, Dits.
I
import
cannot
them.
Believe it.
Import them.
But no, bit revealing.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M. Hey, Roo, just quickly, there's a great story. And to the RSPCA and the animal lovers this morning, I want to say great story. I'll say that with some trepidation. No, this is coming out of the UK this morning, and I know you'll relate to this, but
gee,
a jockey...
You're digging up some good content this morning.
A jockey's been banned...
For
punching
wearing
his
a revealing
horse.
Dress.
No, for punching his horse.
Oh, what?
Yes.
What, it didn't run fast
no.
enough?
No. And I thought to myself...
I backed you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought to myself, I've wanted to punch quite a few horses,
yeah,
but I don't. I think about it. But this jockey, instead of just using the whip, he's full on...
Oh, during the race?
Yeah, he's punched it.
Not afterwards.
Yeah, and so he's been dobbed in. I'm serious. Davey Russell's his name, and he's a famous jockey.
Come on, Davey.
Yeah, so he threw a right hook. Run you bastard. anyway, move on, Roo.
Yeah.
What did you want to do?
We're going to give some tickets away here. We've got a caller, David from Adelaide. G'day, David.
Morning, gentlemen.
You barrack for the Crows or Port?
I'm a Crows man, mate.
Oh,
bloody
geez, a lot of Crows
everywhere.
Ringing up, Dits.
painful. Yeah. Righto, David, you want to go off to the footy, do you?
Oh, I'd love to, yeah.
Right, now, if we give you a double, who are you going to take with you?
I'm going to take a friend of mine.
Oh, gee, you're not giving much away, Dave. You play your cards close to your chest. Yeah. What, can't you decide?
No.
Have you got a, have unnamed, you got a wife? Have you got a partner? Friend.
Oh, I have got a partner.
Right. So okay. What, she can't come?
You're not allowed to take her. She got to stay home or something?
That's right.
Right, okay. All right.
Very secretive.
Hope
Dave.
That doesn't get you in the bad books, David. Mm-hmm. Well, David, you're off to the footy.
Well done, Dave. And we're going to
thank you, boys.
We're going to give away plenty of tickets throughout the day, so keep calling through.
6 until 6, all right? So we've already started, obviously, but through until 6 p.m., every caller that gets through on air.
Any chance of a Port Adelaide supporter ringing in? 2-0.
Haven't got 2-0. Phones.
Dave Benson, Caravan and Camper Trailers. Begin your voyage and live your dreams.
I only have time for one breakfast show.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mount Turnbull.
Oh, gee, what an important time. What an important day for the PM coming up. Let's get him on the line. Good morning, Big Mal.
Good morning to you, Roog. Hello to you, Dits, and hello to everybody at Triple M. Before we begin, I just want to say, I'm a caller. Do I win a finals ticket? I want a finals ticket.
You could buy Adelaide Oval, Big Mal.
What I'm on per year, my taxable income, has nothing to do with it. I'm a caller.
Yeah,
I want
all right. No, fair enough. We've got to be true to our word.
Yeah.
Will you take Lucy? Will you take a mate? Will you get on the grog on the hill? What will you do?
Well, I haven't got any mates, and Lucy wouldn't want to come along, so I'll just take me and my basketball coach.
Gee, he's out of work, I can tell you from what I saw.
Tell you what, I'm going to sack the guy that handed me that ball, too. The Prime Minister shouldn't bowl or throw or kick. Like we've got a problem.
We've got a problem in North Korea.
Kim Jong-un. This man is pure evil. I mean, should we be worried or what?
Well, of course we should be. This guy's got a hydrogen bomb and he's preparing to use it. The thing that makes me really very cross about this whole thing, furious, is that Armageddon makes investment properties and share portfolios absolutely pointless. I mean, it all amounts to nothing, doesn't it? Mm. Which means, in the end, the poor win. Yeah. All those people out in Elizabeth, the ne'er-do-wells lurching from pay packet to pay packet.
Oh yeah, so that is the worst thing about Armageddon, really, isn't it? That's
a slab of Bundy and Coke. Yeah. They've got it right. Do you realise, Dits, how difficult it is to spend $200 million in a week?
No.
I mean, you know, what am I going to buy? I'm furious.
Yeah. Is there any very good upset news, Big Mal, or not?
Well, of course there is, Roo, because as we speak, Australia is trying to even the two-test series in Bangladesh.
Mm.
So all eyes are on the Zahoor Ahmed Chowdhury Stadium, aren't they? I mean, they are one of our traditional rivals, Bangladesh. Over the years, we've enjoyed some really tight clashes, and we all think about household names like Sharia Nafis and Tamim Iqbal, Mushfika Rahim, which is your favourite out of those three?
Oh, it'd be unfair to split them, I think.
I like their name. They come up with good names. I like Chittagong as a name.
Chittagong
is a terrific name, but
rolls off the tongue.
Guys, are these popular names, or have my advisors led me down the garden path?
No, they've led you down.
I'm listing Bangladeshi cricketers. None of these guys know what we're doing.
Yeah. Hey, I want to move on because, controversy during the week. I want you to either deny or, come clean on this. On a RAF flight back in 2014, did you call Tony Abbott the C word?
Well, listen.
It's a yes-no answer, really. It's quite simple.
I'm not going to say yes or no. What I'm going to say is, there was a complete misunderstanding, and it's a furphy. Tony and I had some harsh words, and as we were strapping in to land, I said, Tony, you're up the front. And he had a little trouble hearing me. He thought I said he was hopeless on the punt. I said, no, Tony, you're a real character.
You said it was all quiet on the Western Front.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
A Big Mal.
You're a drop pump.
Have a drop pun, all right. You are speaking with President Donald Trump this morning. Just let the Triple M listeners, what's this all about?
Well, obviously we're talking about what's going on inside the region, and it will be the first time that I've spoken to Donald since he hung up on me earlier in the year.
Yes.
So I hope that things go a little bit better. Because last time I said, Donald, you're sitting up the front. And he completely misunderstood me.
Hey, quickly, what are you singing at the moment?
Well, I've taken Billy Joel out of the selector because I've just got a little bit bored, and I put in Elton John.
Oh.
And Lucy and I love a little bit of Elton John. I was singing this to her the other day. It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, and I do, I've got a lot of money.
Exactly.
I'd buy a big house where we both could live. And I have.
That's right.
It's one part.
Good on you, Big Mel.
You've nailed it there. Before I go, I just want to say, can I give away a finals ticket?
Yes, you can.
You're not going to give me one. Can I give one away?
Yeah, you're the Prime Minister.
This will make you popular.
Well, who have we got on?
We've got Anna.
We've got Anna on.
Hello, good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
Where are you from, Anna?
Glynd.
There you go. Big Mel, I don't know if they vote for you in Glynd, but
I'm not familiar with the Glen, Anna. What happens out there? Are you Labour voters or are you blue blood?
Oh, they call it Little Italy.
Yes.
Oh, Little Italy. So you're just lurching from one leader to another, just like the Australian system. Well, Anna, you're off to the finals. Good on you.
Thank you.
Good on you. Anna, now who do you barrack for?
Adelaide Crowe.
Good on you, Anna. I bet you never thought you were going to speak to the Prime Minister this morning, Anna.
No, a privilege.
Prime Minister and Crow's tickets.
There
That's
you
a
go,
good
Anna. You're
of
off
day.
To the footy. Well done.
Before I go, I just want to say, Triple M rocks the Glen or whatever it's called.
Glen.
And the final.
Righto.
Glen.
Thanks,
well,
Peter.
Guys.
Can any port people ring through or not?
Well, they sleep into lunchtime most of the day, don't they?
I've just worked out. A lot of them only get one phone call a week, I suppose. Righto.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Ruin Dids. $1,000 pressure test.
Righto, we're trying to give away $1,000, Roo.
Yes, we love the pressure test. Let's go to Salisbury North. G'day, Hayden.
Hey, how are you?
Very, very well, mate. You up and about today?
Yeah, I got up early to listen to you so I could try and win some tickets, but now I'm on the pressure test.
Whoa, you might just win both, mate. It might be your lucky day, Haydo.
So, Hayden, just for getting through, you're off to the footy.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah. Who do you barrack for?
Port Adelaide.
Yay! Finally!
We found you.
Finally.
Yeah, I heard all the Crows reporters before.
Oh, aren't they painful, Hayden?
Tell me about it. Yeah. Hayden, how much are you going to win by Saturday night, buddy?
100 points.
Just 100, righto. Let's just try and win, Hayden. Now, who are you going to take to the footy with you?
Well, my lovely fiance is unfortunately in Johannesburg, so I can't take her, so I have to find someone else.
Bloody hell, what's she doing over there?
So she's in her final year of vet, and she's going over there helping out all the African animals.
Well, there's a few animals over there to work on.
Safari or something out in the park.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, she's volunteering. Yeah.
Oh, good on her. So this is interesting now. What is she working with, like giraffe, lions, tigers, everything, is she?
Yeah. She can't actually, some of them, like, obviously the cows and stuff, but she's doing some pretty exotic animals like rhinoceroses and...
Great experience.
Cool.
Well,
you've moved up, getting involved with a vet. Bloody hell.
yeah, done all right.
Righto, little animal.
We could chat forever, you and I, but let's try and win you $1,000. Now, the Royal Adelaide Show's on at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Righto, Roo, you go with it.
Okay. Give us 10 rides at the show.
Roller coaster, the magic carpet ride, Ferris wheel, merry-go-round, sideshow attractions,
rides,
go-karts,
rides.
Not sure. I've lost it. Mini. Go-kart.
Let's go to the adjudicator.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Correct.
Yeah, 5 correct.
Well done.
You were being tough today, a judge over there, weren't you?
I thought they were rides at the show.
A go-kart is a ride. You ride on a go-kart or not? Anyway, Hayden.
Oh, is that a rah-rah-rah?
Anyway, Hayden, you're off to the footy. Go and cheer loud for Port Adelaide.
Come on, Hayden.
Will do.
Get him across the line.
Good on you, mate.
Good work.
Thanks, mate.
Well done.
Good work. Hamish Hartlett's coming up too for Port fans, not too far away, Dits. So have a chat about the big game Saturday night.
All right. We're doing it all for Southern Volkswagen down at Renewa.
From Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shang Chantra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
Triple M.
Comwire IT. Complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartman and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. It's hammer time.
Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Oh, good morning, Hammer.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Gee, you're looking fit. Looking ready to go. No, fitter than you. He's ready. I can tell.
You can see he's toned down for the last couple of weeks.
Coming out of those muscles
there,
really.
Pregnant,
is he?
He's pregnant.
Yeah. Tell the restaurant in the city. Let's get to that first of all. What's it called?
Poke Me.
Yep. Now you had a celebrity guest last week, apparently.
Mm. We did. Yes, the great man sitting to my right, Mark Rusciuto, popped down with
non-paying.
That's what I was going to ask. Did he pay?
Well, I wasn't down there. I think he's good mates with one of my other partners that are involved in the restaurant.
Right.
And I'm not sure. Did Coxie look after you or what?
Yeah, he did.
Beautiful.
Did a runner, Roo.
Hey.
Well, you know what happens there, Hammy. You just go to the Alma, don't you? And you just, you know, you have a steak and a couple of beers actually, end of season and you just leave the bill.
Roo's looked after me for a couple of nights down at the Alma in the past. So, I'll scratch his back. He'll scratch mine, that type of setup.
Hey, you up and about? You ready to go?
Absolutely.
Well, I can detect it too, Ditch.
Yeah.
A bit of smile. Nice little nervous smile.
I remembered the coffees this morning too.
You did. That's a good sign. Yeah. I saw that.
That's all good.
That means your preparation's spot on. You're thinking clearly.
Correct.
Now, West Coast Eagles, I don't want to put any doubt in your mind, but I want to make sure you're in the right frame of mind that they are a good side. What they did to the Crows in the last round, I know the Crows didn't have anything to play for, but when you look at their line by line, they've got a lot of good players, haven't they?
Yeah, they do, and you know, they've probably had a season similar to ours, I suppose, in that when they've played their very best footy, they've been super competitive, and when they haven't, I guess they've sort of flirted with their form and they've fluctuated in that respect. So obviously they had a really good win a couple of weeks ago, but you know, as you say, Dits, you've got McGovern and Barras and Brad Shepherd, these types of guys in the back line. Then you've got Pritis and
Mitchell,
Sammy Mitchell and Shuey and these types of guys in the midfield. Gaff on the wing and then obviously Kennedy and Darling and Lacroix up forward. So chock full of quality players.
Yep. They've got a good record at Adelaide too. Since the redeveloped Adelaide Oval, they've played here six times and they've won five. Mm. Now, there'd be no other side in the AFL with that sort of record, I wouldn't have thought. But having said that, and they did beat you in round seven this year, but you should have won that game. If you kicked straight and took your chances, you would have beaten them.
Yeah, I mean, they'll gain a lot of confidence out of the way they play over here, I'm sure, and they'll come over and feel at home, I suppose, in terms of the way they play.
It's not a dissimilar oval. It's not as long as Subiaco, but it's about the same width.
I'd
and
say
I think that's why they probably enjoy it, because at MCG, where they can't win, it's a wider oval and they don't defend as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you base a lot of your game plan around your home ground, I suppose, and the way you're set up structurally based on the width and the size of the oval. And obviously the width of Subi is very, very similar to Adelaide Oval, so they probably feel quite comfortable playing here. But
they weren't on Saturday night when you're crashing them.
I reckon if we get off to a cracker of a start.
Well, imagine if you did what you did to the Tigers a few years ago.
And, you know, the crowd sort of gets behind you, and you feel like you're playing with 22 players out there rather than sort of 18 on the field. So hopefully that's what we can do.
We spoke to Ken Hinckley, I think it was Friday morning, Roo, wasn't it? And he talked about his reluctance to change. He doesn't want to make changes, you know, and because you'd played well, you'd thrash the Suns.
Yeah.
And I've got no reason to push him, but I'd like to see Jackson Trengove out there just for the stability and the an older head, a wiser head. You know, you are still a very, very young team going into this
final.
A bit
intimidating when you need that in finals.
And, Roo, you said this from a tactical point of view. You think he should do a job on McGovern, don't
well,
you?
I think I'd look at that if I was coaching. I'd play him as a defensive forward and try and limit McGovern's influence. I think he gives him so much rebound from down back. And when he gets it there, Smalls run, whether it's Hearn or Shepherd or those sort of types. So that's something you consider. And he did it on Alex Rance and did quite well for a half, really well.
Yeah, he did. He played exceptionally well that game on Rance and really limited his influence. I know Kenny is very, very reluctant to change his winning teams, and he always has been since his time at the footy club. So I can only guess that there would be sort of one, maybe two changes. So we'll have to wait and see what they are. But I know Kenny will be very, very reluctant to change his formula at this stage.
All right, good on you, Hammett. More with Hamish Hartlett in just a moment. It's Ruined It here on Triple M.
Triple M.
Comwire IT. Complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartlett and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruined It for breakfast. It's Hammer Time.
Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer Time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Yes, Hammer's with us, playing great footy too, Hamish. Over the last 6 weeks or so, you've been superb. And I'll tell you what, your intercept marking, not just the marks you're taking, but courage as well, backing back into those packs, mate. Well done. Keep it going.
Thanks, Dits. Yeah, it's, I guess, a sort of natural progression of finding myself in a new role this year, and you just feel more and more comfortable the more time you spend down there. So, no, it's been great.
Anything different? Now, finals week, I asked Tex Walker this yesterday and he said, no, everything's the same. I remember years ago when Jack Carr was coach of Port Adelaide, when it came to finals, you'd go to the club and watch training and all of a sudden there was music blaring from the change rooms. The trainers would go in overnight and hang up streamers, balloons and paint the walls. And it was, in other words, you'd arrive and they go, right, now it's different.
September.
Now we switch on. And yet, as you know, there's a theory with a lot of people that say, no, just keep doing everything we've been doing. Do it the same. How's it happening at Port Adelaide at the moment? Is it change everything because it's finals or go the same?
Nah, probably more so along the lines of just keep things as they have been. You know, we've played some pretty good footy throughout the year to enable ourselves to get this opportunity. So we'll keep things as similar as we possibly can. I know there's already some young boys with a few nerves floating around the footy club, so we don't want to rile them up too much or get them too pumped and excited early on in the week. We'll keep rolling the way we normally have been.
Todd Marshall has been impressive. Tell us about him.
Yeah, Toddy's fantastic. He's obviously was our first pick in the draft last year. Lots of people think Peps was probably our first pick, but actually Toddy was.
Used this year's pick to get both of them, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we untraded this year's first round pick to dip into last year's draft, which is a good move by the guys. Toddy's he's a mobile key forward. Similar sort of build, I suppose, to Westy. Hopefully he fills out a little bit more than what Westy has over his years. So we'll wait and see how he develops in that area. But very, very skillful, right foot and left foot. Makes good decisions with the footy and can take a good mark too. So bit of a quieter kid around the footy club. But
not quite on the field.
He'll make plenty of noise on the field in the years to come, and very respectful and a good young fella.
Yeah, your ears pricked when we did the hospital research home lottery live read there before. Yeah. Do I detect you've got the history with it?
Yeah, I entered a couple of years ago and walked away with a couple of prizes. So I bought...
What'd you win? A house in Canberra?
I bought 10 tickets worth, 500 for the...
So 500 bucks worth?
Yeah, for...
you've had a lash.
For 10 tickets. So I was pretty keen to have a crack and walked away with...
So did you go in for the right reasons to support the hospitals and research, or did you go in to try and win one
of
the 11,600 prizes?
You know, two birds with one stone. That's type right. Setup. Yeah.
What'd you take out? More than you put in?
I took away a pair of headphones, which weren't worth a great deal.
From Columbia? Or?
About $2,000 or $2,500 cash as well. So,
wow.
So that was well worth it. So
it is worth it. 1 in 10 chance of winning.
Yeah, get in. They're sold out this year. But,
that's unfair.
I'll be having a go again next year for sure.
Get in quick, become a member.
That's right.
Hammett, good luck this week.
Yeah.
Good on you guys.
Do SA proud.
Can I, have you got any tickets for me to give away? Or what?
Oh, we have.
Do you want the bloody phones?
Mates, or you want to give them away to one of our listeners?
Oh, if you got a few extra for me, mates, that'd be good.
Oh, Mrs. Hartlett's on the phone.
Oh, g'day, Sonia Hartlett. Yeah. Let's go to North Plymden. G'day, Sonia.
Hello, how are you?
Hamish is here and he wants to give you some tickets.
That's awesome.
A very important question to ask.
North Plympton, who do you support, Sonia? Are you a Crows or are you a Port lady? You're a Port girl?
Yep.
Beautiful. Well, that's Sonia, what we wanted to hear, Sonia. Well, fantastic. Well, Sonia. So I think we've got a couple of tickets for you for the game this week, so make plenty of noise on Saturday night for us.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Good on you, Sonia.
Well done, Sonia. Congratulations.
Thanks for coming in, Hammer. Good luck this weekend. Triple M. 7:14, ruined it's for breakfast on this Wednesday morning. As you know, every caller that gets through until 6 p.m. today gets tickets to the footy, to the finals.
Yeah, absolutely. Massive weekend coming up for both sides. Starts tomorrow night and Saturday night. So we'll give away more tickets than any other radio station throughout the whole day, right up to 6 p.m. through the rush hour, through the day and through our show.
Now, Roo, as a parent, as a South Australian, I'm so angry about this Libby Bell story that broke over the weekend.
Very sad.
Gorgeous young girl who's 13 and by all reports, everyone says was just an absolute ripper. Won an award just recently at her surf lifesaving, so she's actively involved in community stuff. She loves the surf, loves, you know, she's fit, beautiful looking girl, and no longer with us. As a result of cyber bullying, Roo, I've had enough of this. This is just makes you so angry. Let's go back to the Charlotte Dawson situation, who wasn't a child, she was an adult, but in the end, copped so much pressure from cyber bullies, she took her own life, and now this girl's done the same thing. There have been others as well.
Yep.
How do we put an end to this? How do we stop this?
Well, social media has just gone from strength to strength, hasn't it, over the last, how long is it now? Is it 10 years, longer than that? We quite often say this, we're not on a lot. I use Twitter because I use it for work and have a bit of fun on it on the side, but I don't use Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or everything else that's out there. So we don't get affected by too much, but we've spoken this week with Alice about the Instagram. We've spoken yesterday about how you can look at it for half an hour and it can, studies show that it affects the psyche or mindset of, individuals, especially females, but also probably, males, I presume. And it's having, it just feels like to us, that it gives, there's more negativity than positivity out of it. Your life is not worse off for not being on it.
No, I don't partake one bit, not at all.
No. And I don't see people rolling around the streets doing cartwheels because they are on it. But I don't know. And that might be a bit of an old man's negative.
Well, what we do see are our kids being antisocial. And I know this example's been wheeled out a billion times, but when we went home from school every day, it was straight out the back or out in the street playing either footy or cricket or doing something, right? Now it's head buried in a phone. So there's the first negative I can see with it for a start. Yeah. At the dinner table, head buried in a phone. Unless you're very strict parents and say, right, no phones during dinner or no phones in the restaurant, whatever. It's changed our lives forever. And I do not see anything positive to come from it. Nothing.
And now the big thing is obviously the bullying thing. We've already got people out there with mental health issues, which we often say that's directly related to social media, and I think it has got a big part in it. But even if it's not, there's those issues. There's that people are self conscious more than ever before, and I'm really worried about it. I know. Just the little bit of Twitter I use for this show, I look at the Twitter after I do a game of footy, and no matter how good a job you do, when you do a good job or a bad job, or you say something stupid or whatever, there's very harsh critiquing of your job.
People can't wait.
No, they can't wait. And I'm 42, been around long enough, had success and had the hard times, but no matter your experience, you still feel it cut you when someone has a crack at you. I would hate to be in the shoes of a 13, 14, 16 year old girl or boy who's trying to find out where they stand in life.
Now, you've just touched on a very good point, I think. Now, you and I work in this job. Now, I'm not in your league as far as your fame in this town, right? And so everywhere you go, you're recognisable. People want to make a comment about Mark Ricciuto. I've got no doubt about that. But here, we call the footy, for example. So I've got two boys, and unfortunately, they're not immune to it. So just from me calling a harmless game of football, they'll say to me, "Dad, are you copying it?" I'll go, "What do you mean?" They go, "Oh, you should read the stuff that people..." Now, luckily, well,
why are they even reading it?
Because they're kids and they get on this
stuff. Yeah, that's
right. But it's brutal. And they've never told me, but they said, "Dad, you wouldn't want to read it. It's very, very, very bad. And the language is appalling." So, okay. And the reason, the thing I want to touch on here is that you and I are old enough to understand that we take this job on and we get paid to do it and probably get looked after really well. Yeah. So you make the decision. You think, if I'm going to be on radio or TV or get involved in football, there'll be critics out there. But you and I, what I'm saying is we're adults and we're smart enough to take that on board.
Yep.
And you decide to do it or you decide to get out of it. If you can't stand it, you can make the decision and say, "Well, I don't like it, I'll get out." A 13-year-old girl hasn't got
that. Yeah, but we shouldn't even have to do it. Just go back a minute.
No,
we
shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to.
Because most of that's absolute garbage the way it's written, and it's written with the intent to harm.
Correct.
People.
So therefore,
it's not even an accurate assessment of what they feel. They write it and they slant it really positively or really negatively, and it's not right. And I think they shouldn't even be allowed to do that.
When was the last time someone wrote, "Gee, you did a great job. That was fantastic"?
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
No,
people will say that to your face.
I've never seen
it. No, I know, and that's the ridiculous thing. But kids are drummed in from the minute they're on social media as kids. I really worry about it for my kids, really do. And I know my wife's already trying to help my 10-year-old understand the dangers of social media already, because I'm really worried about at 11, 12, 13, 14, how she's going
to
handle it.
All right, I'd go as far to say I'd love to see it banned. I'd love to see us turn back the clock and just get rid of social media.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's unrealistic. But, you know, the conversations I have with my wife, she comes off Facebook and says, "Oh, Mary and Joe have just had coffee." I just look at her and go, "Yeah, are you serious?" No, that's terrific. Yeah, really good. This is the inane bull dust that we get
there
off.
There are some good things they can get out of it. Catching up with friends and...
Oh, we'll ring them up and go and see them.
No, but they're... Well,
for God's sake, whatever happened to that?
Yeah, well, you can, but you can't ring everyone. I know that. I know, let's not get an argument about that.
Hang on.
Yeah.
We used to.
Yep. But
didn't we?
Yeah, we did. But the dangers of it, I think, far outweigh the positives at the moment, I think.
Two rules they should bring in, right? You cannot be anonymous. So let's get rid of the keyboard warriors.
Yeah,
get
be
rid of
accountable
that.
For what you say.
Be accountable. And whatever you say or do on social media must be legal and acceptable, like everything else is in society.
So if you rang up a radio station or if you wrote something in the paper.
Correct. You must live by the same libel rules that you do, because
you should be accountable for your account. So you can't say, you can't be anonymous.
In poor young Libby Bell's case, if she was bullied or handled physically in the schoolyard, that would be stamped out. Therefore, you shouldn't be able to do it online either. It should be stamped out.
Yep.
You see my point?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever's legal
or illegal,
it should be
traceable and used.
Correct.
Yep.
133353. I'm really fired up about this. 133353. Have you had experience? What do you think about social media in your household? And as I said, if you can explain to me that it's really exciting to talk about two friends going for a coffee, please, please tell me what I'm missing out on.
Mm.
I mean it, seriously.
All right. Give us a call, 133353.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:26, we are talking about this terrible, terrible story about a young South Australian, Libby Bell, 13 years of age, who took her own life at the weekend. Very, very sad as a result of bullying.
Let's go to Blakeview. G'day, Steve.
How you going, boy?
What experience have you had with cyberbullying?
It's just, someone I knew when I was growing up changed schools and, they weren't there for very long and they spoke up to a couple of people who were bullying another young girl. And after that, they all just started getting onto her on social media. And it, went so far that, she had multiple attempts on taking her life.
Gee whiz.
Multiple attempts.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah,
How sad for a young person to have to resort to that.
Yep.
Just terrible.
Let's go to Gawler. G'day, Joe.
Yeah, g'day, mate.
What do you think about cyberbullying?
It's pretty rough. I'm going back about 15 years ago, back in MySpace, if anyone remembers that. And I had a whole group of people giving me a bit of a rough time about my appearance and stuff, because that was like the first platform where you could really express yourself and whatnot. And yeah, I actually had to screenshot the stuff and I took it into the school, and that was the only way I could actually get some action done about it, because it was just non-stop. It was every single day.
Was there a positive outcome from that?
Well, yeah, the school took some actions and the parents were all brought in, because we basically had to have a one-on-one conversation about it, where it was all addressed and stuff, which was a bit rough at the time. But, you know, thinking about it now, it was actually really good.
All right, good on you, Joe.
Well done, Joe. And good. Hopefully the school handled that well. Sounds like they did. Let's go to Moana. G'day, Matt.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good. What would you like to say?
That's all right. A couple of things. I'm pretty close to the family of poor Libby, I'm afraid.
Okay, Matt.
But all right, so about the same token is that I also had another phone call Friday night from a mate of mine from interstate, and his 16-year-old daughter tried to do the same thing. I guess the purpose of the call, I suppose, is that, in my opinion, you've got all these Snapchat, Facebooks, and all the other internet, I suppose, businesses out there who are trying to say to these kids that it's okay. Like, I've got two teenage daughters as well. When they take photos of Snapchat, they're doing silly things like they're breathing their necks in and breathing their bellies in and popping their boobs out and all the bits and pieces to try and get the best picture they possibly can. Mm. You've got all these different filters on Snapchat to make your teeth look whiter and all the bits and pieces. And I've only got to go back to what Dick said at 6 o'clock this morning when he was looking at that, was it the Cairns Film Festival or something like that?
Yep.
Where these are professional models who have gone out and actually wearing clothes that are very revealing, and I guess that's the sign of the times to a degree. But if these 16, 13, 12, whatever the young kids are, if they're not mentally mature enough to understand that it's a different way of life. You don't have to be living like that at 12, 13, 14, 16. Mm. It's two different standards. Like, why do we need to be having these kids having their level and that much pressures on themselves to think that they've got to have a certain persona about the way that they've got to look?
Matt, great call, and thanks for ringing in. And he has experience with two teenage daughters. Rue, I'll go back to what I said before. I want the laws changed, or I want laws introduced, where you are responsible. You're in trouble if you influence or force someone to go down that path.
Yeah.
You should be.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's one avenue, and just parents need to be all over bringing their kids up in the right way, don't we, now?
Yep.
Like with this stuff, grooming them from young. I think giving them too much time and really no overseeing of what they're looking at and how they're dealing with it and how they're coping with it is setting our kids up to fail. You know how we always bring them up? We want to bring them up to be perfect adults, and we spend so much time doing it in all the old school ways, Dits.
Yep.
We need to do it. Well, parents need to do it now. It's a tough one, that one.
As we always say, Rue, if anyone's struggling in this sort of area, Lifeline are always there to help. 13, 11, 14.
Rue and Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
More than 3 million Australians are estranged from their loved ones. When all other attempts to reconcile have failed, it's time to try something really quite different. Neuroscientists believe that direct eye contact can communicate much more than just words. So in this bold new social experiment, we'll give estranged people a chance to come here, where they'll spend 5 minutes looking into each other's eyes in search of a way to heal old wounds.
Wow, interesting concept, Roy.
3 million Australians.
Well, that's the first surprising thing about this. The other thing is that it can work just by looking into each other's eyes. Let's get him on. Ray Martin, good morning.
Morning, guys.
First of all, could we just touch on that 3 million Australians estranged from loved ones? That's a huge figure.
Yeah, it's a figure from Melbourne University, neuroscientists working there. But I guess the answer is that we all know somebody who's estranged, and for whatever silly reason, would like to get back together, but somehow don't.
So you talk about 5 minutes just looking into each other's eyes. What sort of stuff have you come across?
Usually, it's longer than that. We don't subject viewers to even 5 minutes of dead silence. Mm. The idea of, I guess, if they know they're on television, even though we do it very discreetly, and the cameras are in hides, and they're about to talk about, you know, in some ways, in case of husband and wives, the most intimate private relationship they've got, and so they must be fairly desperate to come to the stage. Normally, if you know, let's say you and I we had a split and we're brothers and we want to get back together, we'd start talking straight away the moment we sort of sat down. Whereas this is the idea of just sit there and think about the relationship you used to have. Think about how good it was or how bad it was, and then we'll talk. If you want, at the end of the 5 or 10 minutes, you walk away, and you then have the chance to go back and have it out, or say, no, thanks very much, I don't want to do it. Now, almost without exception, there was one exception of one couple, they want to go back and have it out. They leave the studio hand in hand, you know, lovers forever. It just means that they've got a chance to say, well, you know, you promised to go to football with me on that day, and, you know, I'm sick of it, you've done it all the time. And generally people say it was something fairly silly.
Yep. I see one situation you got here. A former child soldier sees remorse in the eyes of the man who says he tortured him.
It's extraordinary. They're two Aussies, but they were Sudanese boy soldiers back in the 1990s before they went to refugee camps and ended up in Australia. There'd be 13-year-old boys with AK-47s who'd go out in the night and fight with another gang, effectively, another political group. And when they ran away out of fear, for their lives, as they did, well, they'd be brought back and they'd be tortured to try and keep them in the army group. And so that happened with one of the boys. One was the torturer and one was the victim. And across a crowded church in Brisbane, 20 years later, they see each other. One wants to go for the other's throat, but he realised you would kill someone in Australia, you finish up in jail. And he's trying to raise with his Australian wife a 10-year-old boy and he's almost reliving his childhood through this lovely boy. But they need to reconcile. And these two big, strong men sort of sit there for 10 minutes and then come down and try and have it out. And almost, you know, the guy who'd been the victim was simply saying, you know, why did you do this? You know, please, you know, tell me that, you know, apologise and tell me how, you know, that you're sorry about what you did. And the other guy's, you know, finally saying, well, you know, will you please forgive me? And they run through what had happened. And, you know, some of the most powerful television I've ever seen. It's amazing. You couldn't script it.
So, Ray, at the end of these couples looking at each other and there's absolute silence, as you just said, do you give them a time limit and they just, what, embrace and start talking? How do these sessions end up?
Instruction, the routine, and all these things have to have a routine. Routine is that, you know, let's say I'm the one and I want to, you know, relate to you again, connect with you again. And so I contacted SBS. They think it's a valid case. They then get in touch with you. You say, well, yeah, you know, I guess I'll go along. I don't know what it's all about, but I go along. So I'm there waiting in a studio, if you like, and then you come down the stairs and you've been told not to talk to me, right, just to sit there and look. So that's what, almost without exception, they do. Some, in a couple of cases, someone will mouth the words, I'm sorry, or I love you, and lots and lots of tears. And occasionally women more than men tend to reach over and touch the other person, but they don't talk. And then the lights go up and the person who's just walked down the stairs walks back up the stairs and talks to me or talks to somebody. And then they've got the choice of going back and trying to have it out or else just walking on. There's no suggestion that 100% of people, as I say, walk off in the sunset holding hands. That'd be too unreal. But clearly they've got a chance to get back, as in the case of a married couple who'd been married for 33 years and then she thought it was all going a bit stale, so she pulled the plug. And then when she got back together with him, she was really remorseful and full of tears.
Yeah. Ray, this sounds so powerful. It does. What a social experiment. How interesting as well. So really looking forward to this one. It's tonight. It's on SBS. And look me in the eye. Gee, what a concept. Ray, thanks so much for sharing it with us. 8:30 tonight on SBS.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Southern Volkswagen.
Main South Road, Ranella.
They're closer than you think.
104.7 Triple M.